Welcome back, everybody. Another week, another episode of Millennialism. And I'm very excited to be here with you, Katie. Last week was a bit, it was a shitty episode, but we're back this week in full form. And I have a lot of energy, and I hope you do too. How's it going, Katie?
I'm great. I'm surprised you have a lot of energy, seeing as you're working 12 hours a day. So I'm very impressed.
Well, talking to you now just for a few minutes before we started just amped me up.
Oh, I'm glad. I feel very amped too.
Yeah, and I got to see your little cute dog, which always brings a smile to my face.
That was the big news of this week, was that Cooper made his way back across the ocean from London to New York. So he's actually sitting next to me right now as we record.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's very cute. If you head to Katie's Instagram, you'll see pictures of him somewhere.
Plenty of Cooper content.
Yes, I believe so. So we've been talking throughout the week, not that much, but we've been texting back and forth about what to do for this episode. And something I think both of us have been like thinking about, that everyone thinks about all the time, is probably like, you know, I wish I had more money. It's something I wish every day, probably. And, you know, people say, oh, money doesn't buy happiness, and you know, money's not everything. And I do think that's true, but I heard someone else say it on a talk show or whatever. Like, it's not the most important thing, but if you don't have any money, it is important. And if you can't, like, you know, you got to be able to provide for yourself, and not being able to provide for yourself, first of all, means you can't provide for yourself, and second of all, it makes you feel shitty. I've been in this situation for a long time. I've been poor for a while. So yeah, I know what that's like, and I know what it's like to walk around wishing I had more. So sometimes, and I think you do this too, I think, like, what would I do if I got $1 million? It's a lot of money, and you have to invest it carefully. And I don't know, it fills my mind with very grandiose visions of, you know, fancy things. I think now I have a more realistic kind of mindset, or no, a more mature mindset of what I would do if I actually made $1 million, because I don't think anyone will just give it to me. But when I was a kid, you know, you dream of like gold, cash, private jets, fancy dinners, maybe. But anyway, I just want to ask you that question. What would you do if you got $1 million today? Like right now. Here, Katie, here's $1 million.
Well, first of all, I'd be in shock and I'd say, what have I done to deserve $1 million? And then I would gladly take the check and run in the opposite direction and cash it as soon as possible. I would like to say that I would do something super humanitarian with it, but I think the first thing that I would do is probably go and buy myself a horse, which is not, it's
how much is a horse
act. Well, that's a good question, because you can get one for like, you know, a couple grand if you look on Facebook Marketplace and someone's got like a pony they're trying to give away. Oh, you could also spend $1 million just on a horse, so they definitely range in price, but I wouldn't go that extreme.
How much would you pay for it?
I would max out at like 50k, I think. But then obviously you have all the accessories and everything too, so that would probably give me another 50k. So let's say 100k of it is gone right off the bat, just to fulfill my personal need for a pony.
Horses.
And then I don't know, I feel like this year particularly has opened my eyes to the number of causes that obviously need support, and COVID has, you know, had a really big impact on a lot of small businesses and causes that I personally care about. So I'd like to believe that at least 50% would go to supporting, you know, environmental activism, animals in need, people in need, you know, any various cause that I care about, I would definitely give a big chunk of money to. And then the other, now 40% that's left, because 100,000 is gone already, I would definitely use to either fuel my own business venture, which I don't know exactly what that would be necessarily, or it would go into investing in other business ventures that I want to become a stakeholder of, or, you know, just think are good investments for the future. My current obsession.
Can you just name a couple of companies that you would like to be a stakeholder of?
Well, I'm getting into that because my current obsession is, well, I don't know if you know this, but I've been pescatarian for, well, I was pescatarian all year last year and then took a wee break, dabbled back in the meat eating world. And then since like the start of COVID, I started doing the pescatarian thing again. And I actually managed to convince my boyfriend to start doing it with me too. And as I grew up with a vegetarian mum, I never really felt the need to eat meat substitutes. They never like appealed to me, and we ate so many vegetables in our house, it kind of was just not a need. But as Toph is a big meat eater, he got me on to like the Beyond Meats of the world. And they're actually so good, first of all. I've been really surprised by how tasty they are, because I feel like when you say to me like meat substitute, my brain immediately goes to corn. I don't know if you ever had that stuff when we were growing up, but it was horrible. It was like a soy type of meat replacement, and it was really gross. But Beyond Meat and Impossible Meat, they're just so tasty and meat-like. It's quite incredible. And it's really sent me down this hole of researching like what the future of food looks like. So I've been really fascinated, not just by meat substitutes. Like, I don't know if you know the brand Nugs, which is like chicken nuggets, plant-based. But there's other brands, both of which I now don't know the name of off the top of my head because they were complicated names. But there's one startup in LA who is 3D printing salmon, which is so fascinating. So they're actually taking salmon stem cells and turning those into little fillets of what you would eat as sashimi, basically, or sushi, which I was just like, that is so crazy. And I think that's like a really interesting way to create a more sustainable future, but also not make people give up eating meat. You know, obviously, if we could 3D print a steak, that would be pretty incredible. And it also really prompted in my mind the question of, so are these salmon fillets vegan? Because technically vegan, I guess being vegan is not eating anything with animal byproducts, and this is technically printed from an animal byproduct, but there's no animals being necessarily harmed in the creation of that singular piece of sashimi. Anyway, I think it's so interesting. There's another brand that's making plant-based tuna, which I just think is also incredible, because tuna in of itself has a very unique texture to it. So I'm going to be really curious to try that at some point and see if it lives up to what tuna tastes like.
Does it look like when you have like the 3D printed salmon or tuna, does it look, but is it in the shape of a fish, or is it just the fillets?
No, it's just the fillets. So I'm gonna do a wee quick Google right now, because I want to figure out what the name is, and we should definitely link this in the bio, because I think it's so cool. But anyway, definitely a chunk of money would go towards either becoming a part of the food revolution and looking at what food can be in the future to create a more sustainable, livable world, or supporting the companies that are already doing it. So that's what I would do. What would you do?
That's all you would do with $1 million?
What?
No, I mean, it's great. Like, it's noble, but I just felt like you'd be a bit more...
I mean, there would definitely be a bit of spare change lying around to, like, you know, go traveling or...
or that's what I was expecting.
Some fancy dinners, maybe buy, you know, some nice things for the apartment. But... I'm trying to think long term, you know, not short term gratification, long term picture.
That's great. All right. That's good. Well, when I first moved to New York in January this year, I after like having been in the city for like 2 weeks, I got like an email from a company that's because I was like looking for jobs in the media industry, as like a director or just working on like video shoots and film shoots. And I got a message from this company, Condé Nast. Is that how it's pronounced?
Which Condé Nast?
Condé Nast? Yeah.
Yeah.
I got an email from them, or so I thought. And they offered me a check for like $10,000 to do this kind of like shoot with two like hair models and a hairdresser. And when I first got that email, I was like, and then I actually got the check in the mail. It felt like I made $1 million because it
I
was so
remember
much.
when that happened.
I don't know, it was so much money for me, and I mean, it's a lot of money for almost anyone, but that's like the only time I felt like a millionaire. So I remember as soon as I got that, I started because I was really broke. So the first thing I did was like, sorry, treat myself to like a nice meal, and then I like went online because I wanted to buy some new clothes because it was really necessary. And then, right, but I was like, all right, maybe I should just wait until I actually cash the check. So then I went to the bank and I wanted to cash the check. And they were like, something is weird about this check. And it turned out it was fraud. I didn't get the job, and it was a
Oh.
yeah, so I did not make $10,000. So I had to so I treated myself to dinner for no reason, for being tricked basically. But
Oh, well,
anyway,
you needed to pick me up.
yeah, but anyway, I couldn't afford to pick me up, but I still got one. And the put me down after I found out it was fake was a harsh blow. But anyway, if I actually made $1 million, I don't think I would have. I don't think I'm like charitable enough to give away half of it at this point. But the first thing I would do is just pay off like my student debt, and that would be a relief. It's not that much, but it's like $20,000 or something. And
Still
then I
sizable.
it's still a sizable amount. And then I would buy an apartment somewhere. Like probably Gothenburg, because it's also like a, real estate is a pretty safe investment, and it would be nice to not having to rent something. And I would also give probably a lot of money to like my brothers, my family, like my niece, probably make sure she can go to a nice school, and then I would, probably get in touch with someone who knows more about finances than I do to just like invest it somewhere. I actually found a link here, like what to do with $1 million, an expert's 9-step plan. I just thought I could just, this is not probably what I would do, but I just wanna kind of run it by you. All right, so the first one is actually the same as I said. Step one, pay off bad debt. Student debt is not necessary. I mean, all debt is bad debt, but yeah, anyway. And then step two, make a plan and chill. $0. What the fuck? I don't even know what this means. Step three, fill up your tax-free accounts and employ. Never mind, that's boring. Invest in learning 10K. Well, I wouldn't do that. I already went to college, I already paid for it. Step five, take advantage of your amazing credit. Yeah. Step six, emergency funds. All right, this is actually a good idea. I would set up some kind
Emergency
of
fund is definitely good.
emergency fund for if whoever gave me the $1 million came back and said, it's actually it's a fake check. You didn't make it. So I'd have something. I could hide it somewhere. And step seven, put some serious money into stocks. As I said, I would invest it somehow in like index funds. Just to have like something set up for the future. And then step eight would be, never mind. And step nine, real estate investing, 400K. Yeah, that's probably a good idea. So that's probably what I do. And as you said, like after all these huge expenses, there are still a lot of thousands of dollars left. And for that, I would just buy a new wardrobe. Just everything, just throw away almost like everything I have and just re-up everything. And I would, you know, take like my friends out for a really nice meal, and I would travel. I'd buy a Patagonia sweater. I wanted to buy one for a long time, but they're very expensive.
And I mentioned that last week too.
Yeah, I did. I should. Yeah, I really want one. So, but it feels like that's the thing. Like, I have plenty of sweaters, and it even says on their website that, you know, don't buy this unless you actually need it. And I don't need it. It's just something that I want. So I've been putting off buying one because it's like $200. I would buy a nice like podcast setup and send you a proper mic.
Mm-hmm.
And that's probably like $100, $200 and $200 probably for that. And I would maybe, I don't know. What I feel like there's so much more you could do. Can you think of anything else?
I think the like, well, there would be kind of two groups of things that you would do. You'd have like the instant immediate gratification items. That would be like the revamping your wardrobe, buying nice things for your apartment, maybe going on a nice trip somewhere. You know, all of those things that you're like, you've been pining over for a while and you feel like, oh, now I have the financial flexibility to do that. So you do that. And then there's the more long-term, future-focused type of investments or purchases or whatever. And those ones, I feel like, also have two buckets. They have the like, good for you, good for the world, like positive sum type of purchases. And then there's like the other side of it, which is maybe more like the indulgences or the like things that are going to make you like personally happier in the future.
What do you think it says about a person, like how they spend that $1 million? Like, what do you think it says about someone? But like what they spend it on?
That's an interesting question, because I definitely feel like, you know, the first thing that everybody would say is like, oh, of course I'm going to try and like fix world hunger, or like I'm going to put it towards maintaining world peace. And it's like, you say that, but would you really do that?
Yeah. I'd get a Tesla too. I just wanted to add that.
Well, Tesla kind of is, I guess, going towards a brighter future for all. So that is an investment in the future of the planet.
Yeah, but it would be more environmentally friendly to just not get a new car.
Is that true? I guess it is.
Yeah, true. Well, if the option is not getting one.
Well, you still have to get around. Yeah. I'm going to be getting around on my horse, but yeah, it's going to take me a lot longer to get anywhere than you.
That's the best option, actually. I just get a new bike.
They drop compost as you ride them. It's great. True. Very beneficial for the planet.
Yeah, I'd get a bike.
You can get an electric bike that is definitely more environmentally friendly than the Tesla.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think it's necessarily a reflection of someone's character, because you can still be a good person even if you use the money for selfish gains.
Mm-hmm.
But I do think that if you got $1 million and none of it went towards bettering the world around you or your community or society or whatever, someone may say that you were a little selfish.
Yeah.
And maybe that's unfair, because in the grand scheme of things, $1 million is a lot, but it's also a lot less than some people have who do very little for the world. I think if we were talking about not $1 million, but $1 billion, then that would be different, because if you've got $1 billion, then you should definitely be using that for some positive things in the world.
Yeah.
Like Jeff
Davis. I mean, that's what I meant when I said that I don't think I would be as charitable with $1 million as with $1 billion. I'd like to think that I would be. I've heard, like, I think it was like an interview with Bill Gates. Obviously, he's like one of the world's richest people, and he gives away a lot of money to charity, probably like more than anyone in the world. But he said that, you know, even though he can give away all these like nice things, he doesn't, like, there's nothing he has to sacrifice in order to do that. Like, it's not to take away anything from him, and like, that's, he gives more than anyone. But he said, this is like his own words, he said, like, it's more impressive that when someone who doesn't have like maybe as much as him, when they're charitable, because like they might even be sacrificing their own kind of like wealth, or you know, they might be give up more things in order to just be charitable and be good people. And I think if I had $1 billion, I do think I, because it's like, I can't even imagine like $1 billion. Like, there's no way I could ever spend $1 billion, I feel like.
No one can spend $1 billion. Yeah, that's why there's so many billionaires.
Exactly. Yeah. But $1 million is very, you know, I can imagine like it's so much money, but it's still like, after buying a house, a car, investing, and like setting up maybe like some funds for your like kids and grandkids, like college tuition or whatever, like there's not going to be that much left.
Yeah,
you're gonna be able
feel like the key with $1 million is enough money to make you money in the future. They say that money breeds money, right? So if you invest $1 million, maybe you'll end up with 10 million in a few years.
Yeah, you're,
and then you can start to talk about the the donating of your money to charity, etc.
Yeah. I mean, you're set for life if you have $1 million cash.
Yeah, the cash part is definitely interesting. It's different than, I mean, I think a lot of people that I know will be earning upwards of $1 million in their lifetime. But it's different when you have everyday expenses and that money is coming in slowly over time than a lump sum.
Yeah, for sure. And I guess if you get $1 million, it also depends on your like current situation. If you already have some money, maybe you would do some different things. And that's compared to someone who doesn't have any money, or like not, you know, because if you don't have a house, obviously you'll get a house. I don't know. Maybe you would be more charitable if you like had it, you were pretty well off before, or you would be more greedy. I don't know.
I do think this is like a general overarching commentary on being charitable, though, because I feel like there are people out there who feel like if I can't give a lot, then it's not worth giving at all, which I don't think is true. I think every little bit can go a long way. So even if it's just, you know, even if you got $1 million and you only gave $10,000 of it away to charity, that's still better than nothing, you know. If you earn $1,000 a month and you can give $10 away to charity, then that's all still worthwhile. So I think everybody should consider giving a little bit, even if they don't give a lot. But I don't think that you have to give away half of it to be a good person, if that makes sense.
Yeah. I'm like on Quora right now, just looking through comments of what would people do if they had $1 million. Like, people really dream in very different ways. Like, here's one guy, Thomas Murphy. He would get 2 HD monitors, 1 HD TV screen, high-end computer, another Nintendo 3DS, Nintendo DS Lite, and it would be a total of 6,380 British pounds. So he would have 993,620 pounds left. And then he said $200,000 to charity. And then like other people, here's one guy who listed 30 different things. He'd be like, buy every Lego set ever made, some of them 3 or even 4 times. And then start my own security company and hire people to provide law enforcement to all the places with the highest crime rates, and to police my gardens, apartment complexes, and all other property that I own. How much does he think he can get for $1 million? Buy at least 90 apartment complexes per city with at least 500,000 people. Each apartment complex capable of housing a manager, a team, maintenance people, and 1,000 families, and rent them out.
Wow. I think he maybe needs to reassess how much $1 million can buy you, because that seems like a lot.
Yeah, this was by Matthew Ryder. He's a CEO at Self Employment from 1982 till present. Yeah. That's him. All right.
Well, maybe you should message him and give him a little bit of education about how much.
Yeah, he might be thinking.
Just send him this podcast. He'll get a good idea. He'll get some good ideas.
Yeah. And then he would also make sure that every building that he owns has at least enough solar panels to generate enough electricity to provide at least a third of its energy needs. So he's not going full out, like, all the energy needs. It's just one third. He's very realistic.
Hmm. I mean, good to start small and then you can grow with time, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, after he bought his 90 apartment complexes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's
how's he going to keep track of all of them?
Well, he has so much money, he can probably just hire people.
We, you know?
Yeah. Do you have any other dreams?
To do with the money or just in general?
No, just in general, just to wrap things up here soon.
Any dreams? My big dream right now is that COVID gets cured and we can all start traveling again. Going back to our episode from a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah, so you can use up all that, those millions of dollars.
Yeah, exactly. Maybe I would just spend all my money traveling. That's nice. Probably more likely.
Yeah. You wouldn't have to stay in hostels either.
No, that would be nice. I could stay in luxury hotels anywhere we go.
Yeah, that sounds lovely.
Any closing dreams on your side?
I think I've made it pretty clear throughout the last few episodes that the one thing I'm consistently dreaming of at this point in my life is having that Italian or Southern French villa. I was like flicking through a magazine the other day and I found one that was perfect. So I took pictures of it on my phone, but it's a constant like search for the perfect house. So maybe with $1 million, I could, like, I would be able to afford to just design it myself, to design it at, to look as it, as if it had been there for hundreds of years. But I don't, honestly, sounds I don't think nice. I don't think 1 million is enough for my dream Italian villa.
Well, you'll just have to sell the idea to investors and then maybe they'll help you bring it to life.
Exactly. Or hopefully if this podcast takes off, if more people start subscribing at Millennialism on Apple, iTunes, that's the same thing, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Anchor, wherever you listen, and share this podcast with your friends, then hopefully in a few years I can be doing this podcast from my villa in Italy that will probably have a shitty internet connection, because that's also one of the requirements. All right, cool. This has been another Millennialism podcast. Thank you for tuning in. As I said, make sure to subscribe, share this podcast with your friends, and we'll be back here next Wednesday with another amazing episode. See you then, Katie.
Bye.
Bye. You ain't never too much, I ain't in no rush now. You got me wondering if I'm ever gonna come down. And if you're the sun, then I'll be too sun. And you can be down on me. You can be down on me. And I've been on the road. And I'm thinking about coming back home. Too much for me. Far distance been far too long. But you never know what could go wrong. Where your heart at? It beats me. Turn your back on me. Where you're smart at? No degree from DC. Love me so I feel it in my bones, not the fossil. Run me like a hellbound human through the gospel. Fight me like a boxer, scar me like a mobster. Know me like my author, never knew. Drop me off your roster, you gon' lose your sponsor. You done made a monster out of me too. Out of me too. For all I could do, I spent summer with you. The sun kissed the seaside and swim in the waves. For all I could do, I spent summer with you. I'd make it a movie and put it on the
And I've been on the road, and I'm thinking about coming back home. And the world is too much for me. Sun-kissed and seaside, swimming the waves.